I want to talk to you this morning, Lord help us, about being saved. You know, it's a wonderful thing to really be saved. And we need to know what we're saved from. And we need to know why we need to be saved. And we need to know what we are saved for the purpose of. So I pray the Lord will help us, that we have a few scriptures here the Lord has helped us to get located on. Romans 5 and 9, I want to notice that as my first text. I want to encourage our young people. You know, I was young one time back years ago, and I realized I was brought up in a saints meeting, Sunday school, camp meetings and services, and it bore on my mind that I needed to be saved. I needed to give my heart to Jesus. That was on my mind as I grew up. Well, the powers of sin and worldliness and pride and lust and all these vanities took a hold of my life as I went to school. I went to school out in the world. We didn't have Christian school much back there. And I got into the influence of lust and pleasure and the world and girls and all these things. And I went into deep sin as a young boy. I developed a habit of cursing, taking God's name in vain. I heard other boys doing it at school, and I just took it up myself. But I want to tell you, dear ones, the Spirit of God was faithful to deal with my soul and help me to realize that I needed to be saved. I needed to be saved from sin, saved from the world, saved from self and pride and vanity and lust. I realized that I needed to be saved so that I could make heaven my home when I leave this world. Dear ones, today that's what people need. We need to give our hearts to Jesus and let Him save us. Jesus is our Savior. Romans 5 and 9, it says here, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You know, the resurrection of Christ from the dead, from the grave, He yielded Himself and gave Himself to be crucified. He willingly gave Himself. He just let them do it. He could have stopped them. He could have called for 12 legions of angels to stop it. But He didn't. He just let them do it. Why did He do it? He did it to save you and me, to redeem us from sin and world and the sentence of death, eternal damnation. I thank the Lord that our Savior did that for us. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, now we are reconciled, we are saved, but we're going to be saved and kept through this wicked world by His life, the life of His Spirit in our hearts and minds. Oh, dear ones, that is so wonderful. I'm so glad that we have the saving grace of God in our hearts every day as we live in this wicked old world. I'm glad we can be saved by His life. I tell you, we need the life of Christ in our hearts. You'd get that by seeking Him earnestly every day, praying, reading your Bible, listening to the Word of God, being attentive to the truth. You're going to save yourself, save your life by His life as we pay attention to it and regard it and follow it. Oh, thank the Lord. And it says, No, I guess I read, I was going to get now verse 9. Much more, then being now justified, we shall be saved from wrath. You know, we're just being saved. It would help us to be saved from sin and saved from worldliness and ungodliness. But listen, there's the wrath of God going to be poured out upon this world. Did you know that? The wrath of God is going to burn this world and pass it away just like that. Right. And he's going to bring every living person that ever lived, and they're going to be brought to the judgment. And they're going to be judged in that day. And if you're not saved, if you're not living for Jesus, and if you haven't been holy and righteous and godly, you're going to be lost forever. But we don't have to be that way, thank God. If you want to live for Jesus, if you want to give up yourself and the world and pride and vanity and lust and greed and all these mess we have, and live a holy, righteous, godly, humble, loving, kind, meek, and gentle life, if you want to do that, you can be saved from wrath through him. I thank the Lord. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, that's more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Thank the Lord. I'm glad we can be saved. I'm glad to testify today that I am saved. I am living a saved and sanctified life to the best of my knowledge and understanding. And I've been doing it for many years, and it's getting richer. I tell you what, just lately, even though we've been in a difficult situation, my wife, dear wife, being afflicted and all, but yet at the same time, the Lord has been so real and so precious to my soul. It just seems like it's getting richer and sweeter and better all the time. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The atonement for our sins by his precious blood. He shed his blood. He shed every ounce of blood in his body on the cross with the nails in his hands and feet and the spear in his side and the lacerations on his back. He shed all the blood until he spread blood until there was nothing but water coming out. He did that for you and I. Why? So we could be saved. So we could be forgiven, so we could be cleansed from sin. He did that. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. I'm so happy this morning to be saved. I want to encourage all of you, live for the Lord in your life. Follow him, serve him, pray to him, trust in him, obey him. Thank the Lord. Not only so, but we have also, and we joy in, also in God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom now we have received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all have sinned. Where until the law sin was in the world, but sin not imputed when there was no law. God had to send the law to help people to see their sin. But before he sent the law, he established faith in Abraham and his children and all down. He established faith, and then after 400 and some years, he sent the law to help people to see you're in sin, you need to straighten up, and you need to be saved from sin. And so I'm glad that he sent faith, and then he sent the law. Thank the Lord. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Yes, death was there from Adam to Moses, even over them that had sinned, not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if many, through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound to many. Just like death reigned and just swept all over the world, now the grace of God has been offered and made available that we can be saved from sin. Are you glad to be saved today? Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so happy. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Romans 8 and 24 and see. Oh, this is all about different scriptures about being saved. Oh, let's get a little bit above that. Oh, let's see. Verse 19. The earnest expectation of the creature, that's us, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That means in eternity, God's going to bring us all out if we'll be faithful. That's our earnest expectation, our intense anticipation, our earnest hope that we're going to be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Now let's go on down. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. That means the being saved at the last day from death and eternal damnation. We can be saved. We can be ready to meet the Lord. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. You know, this old body, when you get to looking at it and really getting to sizing it up, it's a corruptible thing. You know that? This old body is going down, getting old. I'll be 77 this year. I'm an old man. My body's wearing out. But I've got something within me that keeps it going good and strong. I've got something in me that is so real, it's so young, it's so precious. But this old outer body, it's going down. We groan within ourselves waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Change your body. If you're alive when Jesus comes in the heavens and with all the saints of God, if you're alive, you'll be changed just like that to immortality. You know what? Think about it. It'll just be just like that. You'll be an immortal. Oh, I thank the Lord for the hope that we have. This old body is going down, and it's going to be there. If we're there when the Lord comes, it won't be that anymore. It'll be changed if we're saved in our souls, if we're right with God. May the Lord help us. Oh, praise the Lord. It says, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. So we're not saved by things. We see these old material things, cars and houses and all these old trucks and buses and airplanes and all these. They're all going to perish. They're all going to go down. But I tell you, we've got something that's not seen. We've got something that we're looking forward to that is eternal. I believe another scripture says the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. We look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Is that what you're doing? Is that what you're living for? Are you still enjoying the old flesh and lust and all the pleasures and all the junk? I'm glad, dear ones, we can be saved. We are saved by hope. I'm glad for that hope. I love that word hope. I've studied it a lot in the scriptures. Hope. It's a blessed word. I'm glad we have hope. Something that is beyond this fleeting earthly realm. It's a hope of eternal life. Oh, I thank the Lord. We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience. Gotta have a lot of patience if you live for God. You gotta endure different things, troubles and trials hard places, disappointments, letdowns, mistreatment. No, you got to endure a lot of things. Keep the right attitude. Be humble. Be meek. Be lowly. Be kind. Be loving. Forgiving. Be faithful to the Lord. Be prayerful. Live close to God. Oh, why? Because we're saved by hope. And if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience, endurance. That patience is endurance. You just go through it. You know, it don't change you. You just, no matter what happens, you're still living for Jesus. I think of one that song. Let's sing a verse of it. Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Striving to please Him in all that I do. Seventh allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. Living for Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. Oh, I love that song. I owe no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Oh, thank You, Lord. Oh, let's go to another scripture. Romans 10 and 9. These are just precious texts in the Bible that I've enjoyed through the years. Let's notice verse 8. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that wonderful? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised, believe in your heart. That means you really believe it with all your heart. You don't just have an idea of it, but you've got to believe it from the heart. That God said, that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Don't you want to be saved? Well, let's believe and let's obey and let's follow. Let's serve the Lord. We're going to be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. Oh, I'm so glad we have a wonderful Savior that we can love and serve. Praise the Lord. For whosoever, there is no difference. Listen, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. There's no difference between the color of your skin. There's no difference between the big and the little. There's no difference between the wise and the ignorant. They're all made available to have be saved. You can be saved. Oh, isn't that wonderful? No difference between the male and the female. You can be saved. You're a woman, you can be saved. You're a man, you can be saved. Isn't that wonderful? Thank the Lord. Oh, I don't know. There's just so many wonderful things. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what I did as a young boy. I began to call on the name of the Lord. I was going in sin. I was living a sinful life in my senior year of high school. I had a girlfriend at school that I liked to be with. She was a worldly girlfriend. But anyway, I was not living for the Lord, and I had that awful habit of cursing, and I was just a wicked, and I had a temper too. I'd get mad and stomp and rear and all this. Oh, I was a mess. But one day, one evening, when we lived out northeast of Guthrie here, I had got something with a box top, a little gadget that would measure you how far you walked or ran. And anyway, it was just a little deal, and you put it on your belt, and then you go out and run. Well, this was late in the day, and it hadn't got dark yet, but the sun had gone down, and you couldn't see as well as you did with the light on, with the sun. And I was out running to make this thing on my belt to see what it was going to do. Well, I was running, and I didn't see the guide wire of a telephone pole. And the wire that comes from up there and down and help hold the pole, I didn't see that. I ran into that, and it caught me right here. And I was running at top speed. And I just went just like that down on the ground. And when I got up, I was bleeding from my mouth and my nose. Oh, I know I'm in trouble. I got up and I ran to the house. And I come in and I said, Mama, I've hurt myself. I need help. I need prayer. I need help. And she got me down and started putting cloths and things and sopping up the blood. I was just bleeding like everything. She got on the phone and called our pastor, Brother O.C. Porter. He lived 5 miles south of us. He and his wife and daughter came that evening. Right away they came up. And they got down and they started praying for me. But I was praying too. I knew that I was not saved. And I knew that if I didn't get help from God, I was going to die. I was going to bleed to death. So I was praying in my heart and mind to the Lord. I didn't come out with it. Maybe I should have, but from my heart I was praying. I said, Lord, if you'll save me and take this away, I'll give my heart to you and live for you. I made a promise to the Lord. Did you know in just a little bit, I think it's less than a minute, the blood stopped. Like that. I had made a promise and the Lord had touched my body and saved my life. And that summer, I didn't do it right away. I should have, but I didn't. I finished my school. I graduated. I gave up my worldly girlfriend. Took me 2 months or so to get over that. But I knew I had to give her up because she wouldn't live for Jesus. And I gave my heart to Jesus, and He saved me that summer. I'm so glad, thankful, that He saved my soul. And I kept saved. I kept on through the rest of that year. I was living for Jesus to all I knew and understood. I would go to the chapel over there on the west side of town. Lots of times I'd go over there and pray and spend time alone with God. And then in the assembly meeting that year, on the first Sunday night, Brother Murphy Allen got up and he preached a powerful message on being seeking the Lord with all your heart. And how we need to seek the Lord until He comes and rains righteousness upon us. And I would have been seeking the Lord. I wanted to be sanctified. I wanted to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I'll tell you, that Brother Murphy Allen, he preached with such power. And I sat there and I told myself, I said, when he gets through, I'm going to that altar And I'm not getting up until I have what I know God wants me to have. I think about that a lot of times. And you know, as soon as he was through, I heard him say, "Well, let's have a song. Somebody maybe need to come and seek the Lord." And so we got up and we started singing, "Shall I Die Without a Savior?" Number 400, I believe it is. And we just got the song started, and I got at that altar, and I tell you, I wept, I prayed, I cried, I didn't care who heard me. I, with all my heart, I wanted God to fill me with the Spirit and have His way in my life and guide me. I was praying, and my pastor, Brother O.C. Porter, he was down there praying with me, and Brother Sam Barton, another minister, had his hand on my head and praying for me. Another different one was agreeing with me. Then all of a sudden, the most wonderful feeling just filled my whole being. I tell you what it was. It was just wonderful. I come up off of that altar. I was just shouting and rejoicing and praising God. Dear ones, it pays to be saved and give our hearts to Him. Consecrate your life. Give everything to Jesus. Don't go your own way. No, there's I know of young people my age, a lot of them didn't do what I did. A lot of them went their own way, and they're still in sin and ungodliness today at old age. But I'm glad I gave my heart to Jesus. I consecrated my life to Him. I let His Spirit lead me and inspire me. Oh, praise the Lord. It's wonderful. Now let's go to Ephesians 2 and 5. I just thank the Lord for the privilege of being saved. And I want to tell about it until I die. I want to keep talking about it. Praise the good Lord. Ephesians 2. Oh, I thank the Lord for His goodness, salvation. Ephesians 2 and 5. Even when we were dead in sins. Well, let's read verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. And above that, it tells how we were all had our conversation in time past, and the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Yeah, that's what I was. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We've got a bright future, as I said a while ago. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before hath ordained that we should walk in them. Thank the Lord for the wonderful privilege of being saved and changed from sin to righteousness. 2 Timothy 2 and 5. Oh, I appreciate the goodness of God. 2 Timothy 2 and 5. No, it's, yeah, 2 Timothy 2 and 5. No, if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be for partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, Wherefore, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, not even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus unto eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Praise the Lord. I'm glad we can just die the death to sin, die the death to pride and worldliness and lust and greed, and then we can be alive in him. Thank the Lord. All right. Now I want to go one more text, one first scripture, 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. I thank the Lord for being saved. I'm glad the Lord saved me and called me to his work as a young person. Know ye not, 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. If you practice all these old, all this wickedness going on in the world between men and women, it's just awful. Broken homes and adultery and fornication and all these awful things. And it says, such were some of you. But what happened? You were changed. You were changed. You are washed. I'm glad I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. In the blood of the Lamb, washed my soul, cleansed me from my sins, from my pride, from my bad habits, and from my sinful way of living. I'm glad that I'm washed. Not only that, but you're sanctified. Not only does the Lord want to wash you and save you, but he wants to make you holy. He wants your life to be holy. Your conversation, your words, everything you do. He wants to be holy, pure, kind, loving, meek, tender-hearted, fervent in spirit for the Lord. He wants you to be sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I thank the Lord for his great salvation. I hope and pray that you will, if you're here and you're not literally saved, that's the greatest and most important, wonderful thing you can seek for, and that is to be saved and to be changed from an old creature to a new creature in Christ Jesus. To be saved. And then, when death comes, you don't have to be afraid. I don't know how much longer we're going to live. My wife and I, we've been together going on 53 years. We've had a happy life together, but our bodies are wearing out. But I have something in mind, in view. I have a hope that God has worked out for me to have. Thank the Lord. God bless you is our prayer. Amen.